Welcome to Exploring Bible Prophecy with our teacher, Steve Butler. We're continuing our series on why we should explore Bible prophecy. Today, Steve will be in Psalm 22, as well as Matthew 27, John 19, and Mark chapter 15, verse 24. Remember, you can download the free study guide. Just log on to whcbradio.org and click on Exploring Bible Prophecy. There you'll be able to download your free study guide. Now, let's get our study guides, open up our Bibles, and together explore Bible prophecy.
In today's program, we're going to pick up where we left off in our last program at point number six in our series entitled, Why Explore Bible Prophecy? And for those of you that have been with us for a while and have gone to the radio station here at WHCB, and have downloaded our worksheet, you know what I'm talking about when I say that it is, I think, very beneficial to have that in front of you, because particularly as you see point number six, we have, I don't know, I'm just looking at it and guessing, we probably have 30 scriptures that we're going to go through, and we're just starting. So if you're joining us for the first time, you've come in at a good time in point number six. And of course, there are 13 points that we're going through to explain why, and I'm emphatic about it, is why we need to explore Bible prophecy, why we need to study it. And I use the word explore Bible prophecy because there's a lot more to Bible than just reading it and memorizing a few verses. That's good. I don't have anything against that. But until you take the time to allow the Holy Spirit to lead you through an in-depth study, and it's not something that you have to have a PhD to do. It's anybody can do. I mean, the Bible was written to the common person. Jesus and God wanted it that way so that the common person could understand it. There's no requirement to have a PhD, although there are some that think you do, and they will tell you so, but I do not believe that God wanted any man, any woman who had the desire to know him, to love him, and to do his will. He has given us his entire word from Genesis to Revelation, all 66 books, and we need to know those to one degree or another to know who God is, what his plans are for the world, and more importantly for each of us individually, what his plans are for us. He wants us to know that because he has plans for us, and he has plans that are very specifically laid out for those who believe him through his son Jesus Christ, and he has very specific plans, although they're not good. The outcome is not good, but he has very specific plans for all the people who ever lived who refused him and refused his son, Jesus Christ. And it's all understood through the study, the exploration of prophecy in the Bible. So that's what it's all about. And just to be specific again, if you're joining us perhaps for the first time, if you go to the radio station here at whcbradio.org, and look for Exploring Bible Prophecy, you'll find the current worksheet for the series that we happen to be in whenever you check in with a website. And when we start a new series, obviously we'll have a new worksheet. But the particular one we're on right now is Exploring Why Explore Bible Prophecy. And then shortly after we finish this, we'll do one on how to study the Bible, a quick one. And then we'll get into a quick overview of the 30 prophetic events between now and the end of the book of Revelation, which is eternity. 30 in the best chronological order that I can understand from a study of the Bible. And we'll go through that scripture by scripture to overview that. And then we'll spend the next, good period of time going through each one of those 30 points. So I'm looking forward to that. But just as importantly, I'm looking forward to number six on our worksheet. So if you'd go there, when we finished our program, last program, we were in Matthew 26. So let's go there. That's the first book of the New Testament. Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. So the first book of the New Testament. And go to Matthew 26. And this is the night in which Jesus is betrayed. He's just come from the upper room, where he's had an intimate supper with his disciples, with his apostles, and basically has laid out what the world's going to look like for them, given that Israel has rejected him as their Messiah. And so we're going to go into what's called the church age for a couple of thousand years, and he's laid that out for them. And now he's gone to the Garden of Gethsemane, where he's going to pray to his Father, and he's going to be betrayed. And he wants to make the point here that if you had been studying the Old Testament, which at that time was all they had, there were no Testament books, if you had been studying the prophetic scriptures, you would have known exactly step by step what was going to happen. So he's basically telling them in the garden, when the high priest shows up to arrest him, of course, with Judas, who has betrayed Jesus, they show up and one of Jesus' followers takes his sword out and cuts the ear off of the high priest. And Jesus looks at the man that has cut off the ear, and, you know, basically saying, hey, it's not necessary that you do that. In Matthew 26:53, it says, or do you think that I cannot appeal to my Father and he will at once put at my disposal more than 12 legions of angels? And when you're talking about legions of angels, this number would be 72,000 angels. Verse 54, how then will the scriptures be fulfilled which say that it must happen this way? Verse 55, at that time, Jesus said to the crowds, have you come out with swords and clubs to arrest me as you would against a robber? Every day I used to sit in the temple teaching, and you did not seize me. But all this has taken place, verse 56, all this has taken place to fulfill the scriptures of the prophets. Then all the disciples left him and fled. And of course, that's prophetic as well, the fact that all of his followers would leave him. And we'll get into that here in one of the scriptures that are listed in our worksheet on Why Explore Bible Prophecy. So this is the New Testament situation where Jesus is admonishing his own followers, if you had just studied the scriptures. So given this little passage right here in Matthew 26 about being in the Garden of Gethsemane and being betrayed by this horde of people from the high priest, let's go to Psalms. So find that big book of Psalms. You can find Jeremiah, Isaiah, keep going to the left, and you get past the Proverbs and then into Psalms. And if you can get to Psalms, and go to Psalm 22. Psalm 22. And in Psalm 22, and let's look at verses 11 and 12. Now, remember back, Jesus is in the garden. He has been betrayed by Judas. His other apostles and followers are around him, but this big group of authorities, if you will, the high priest was the high religious authority. Most likely he had Roman soldiers with him to some degree. And it says in verse 11 of Psalm 22, and realizing that Psalm 22 was written 1,000 years, approximately 1,000 years before this event in Christ's life. Psalm 22, verse 11, be not far from me, for trouble is near, for there is none to help me. Many bulls have surrounded me. Strong bulls of Bashan have encircled me. Now, we're not going to read the rest of this passage in here now, but it's basically describing the arrest and the crucifixion of Christ 1,000 years before it happened. But he's even talking about the details of being encircled by this large group of people, strong bulls of Bashan. Of course, at that point in time, the Bashan was up on the Golan Heights in the northeast corner of Israel. It borders with Syria. And the bulls up there were known particularly for their strength and their size and so forth. So he's making the point that a strong group of people with great authority have surrounded me, and therefore trouble is near. And he's appealing to his Father, which of course he had done in the Garden of Gethsemane. And it says at the end of verse 11, for there is none to help. And if you'll recall at the last verse, verse 56 in Matthew 26, it said, at that point, all his disciples left him. So just amazing. So hopefully you're getting a flavor here, and that flavor will be further and further enriched and excited and enhanced as we go through point number six here and see each of these ancient prophecies come to fulfillment in exactly the way it was prophesied, even though it may be 1,000 or more years in the future. And of course, here we're only talking about those prophecies that have come to pass, not those that are yet to be fulfilled. And of course, our hope here is that if we can appreciate as a listener that when you see an ancient prophecy fulfilled in exact detail and time and place and circumstance, then you would, you know, hopefully have the enhanced confidence that anything that has yet to be fulfilled that was prophesied would be fulfilled in exactly the same way to the same degree of detail. That's the point I really want to try and get across here through the whole study, the whole series here on Why Explore Bible Prophecy, but particularly here in point number six, because I wanted to put this number of passages in here because I wanted to have as much detail as I could without going overboard to make the point that if they came to pass in such great detail, why wouldn't the future prophecies come to pass in the same degree of detail? So let's move on to the next one, and let's stay in the book of Psalm. In fact, we just have to go back to the left in your Bible, just a few psalms here, to Psalm 16. And this is another psalm of David. So therefore, we can pinpoint the timing to 1,000 years before Jesus Christ. And I think that's just amazing. There's no book anywhere in the world, in the history of mankind, that has contained prophecies that have come to specific fulfillment one after the other, as we have with God's Word, which we call the Bible. Psalm 16, verses 8 through 10, it says, I have set the Lord continually before me, because he is at my right hand, I will not be shaken. Therefore my heart is glad and my glory rejoices. My flesh also will dwell securely, for you will not abandon my soul to Sheol, nor will you allow your Holy One to undergo decay. So this is one of those major prophecies of David. And of course, God greatly favored David, even with all of his problems, all of his mistakes, his sins, his foibles. He still had a heart after God, and God blessed him. We learned in a question that we're answering, and we'll actually continue that today, where God put his Holy Spirit on David, and it never left David. And of course, we know from the Old Testament studies that the Holy Spirit would come on and would leave people, depending on whether they were righteous or unrighteous. But it never left David, even though he had all of those problems. It was because of the purity of his heart for God. But we see here, again, back to Psalm 16, we're particularly talking about verse 10, where it says, you will not abandon my soul to Sheol. It doesn't say he won't go there, but he said, you won't abandon me there. You won't leave me there. And he also confirms, not only will you not leave me there, but you will not allow your Holy One. And that's an obvious reference to Jesus Christ, who was yet 1,000 years in the future. You will not allow your Holy One to undergo decay. And of course, we know that he gloriously arose. So we have this passage in Psalm 22, and we want to go to several passages in the New Testament now to see just how this was fulfilled. So let's go to Matthew. We're in Psalms, so we want to go back to the right, past the Old Testament into the first book of the New Testament, which is the book of Matthew. We want to go to Matthew chapter 27. Matthew chapter 27, and we want to go to verse 27. Matthew 27, 27. And in Matthew 27, 27, it reads, then the soldiers of the governor took Jesus into the praetorium and gathered the whole Roman cohort around him. So the point is, You recall back in Psalm 22 that we read in relationship to Matthew 26, the first point, if you will, the first set of scriptures in point number 6. It was talking about the bulls of Bashan. Well, here's another example where you have the Roman cohort, and a cohort was, you know, several hundred soldiers. They called it a battalion back then. I don't know if it's the same battalion as we have today, but if it is, that's approximately 300-plus soldiers. Anyway, the strong bulls of Bashan surrounded him. Well, here we have that. Not only was the high priest an authority figure with a contingent of people with him there in the garden, but they escorted him to the praetorium, which was the military, the area around the military headquarters there, and the whole Roman cohort surrounded him. So we have the first example there of a New Testament fulfillment of the Old Testament prophecy. Then let's get into some specifics here about the crucifixion. Let's go to the book of John. So this is Matthew, Mark, Luke, John. So go three more books to the right, to the last of the four Gospels, and go to John chapter 19. John chapter 19. And in John chapter 19, we want to go to verse 34. And in verse 34, it says, "But one of the soldiers pierced his side with a spear, and immediately blood and water came out." So we're going to be seeing several things that happened, because it talks about the water coming out of his body 1,000 years before. Here it's talking about water coming out of his body at the actual crucifixion of Christ. It's a mixture of blood and water. And I don't know about you, and I'm not certainly not a doctor with any medical background, but normally you would think if you cut somebody, blood comes out. But specifically, the Bible says blood and water came out. So that's a fulfillment of that particular passage right there. And then staying in John 19, let's go up a little bit to verse 28. It says, "After this, Jesus, knowing that all things had already been accomplished to fulfill the scriptures, he said, 'I am thirsty.' And a jar of sour wine was standing there. So they put a sponge full of sour wine upon a branch of hyssop and brought it up to his mouth. Therefore, when Jesus had received the sour wine, he said, 'It is finished.' And he bowed his head and gave up the spirit." He gave up the spirit at that point in time. But the prophecy was that he was thirsty. So he wanted to make that point clear again from Isaiah, Psalm 22. It's Psalm 22. And I think I may have jumped ahead here. I said Psalm 16, and I think I did. If you look at your handout, your worksheet, I was in Psalm 22. So let me go back to Psalm 22, and I apologize for that. I got a little too excited with my scriptures there. Psalm 22. Let me go back and read Psalm 22, and I think what we've been saying in Matthew and John will make a little more sense. Psalm 22, and let's look at verses 11 through 18, and it says in Psalm 22, again, a psalm of David, so 1,000 years before Christ, Psalm 22:11. "Be not far from me, for trouble is near, for there is none to help. Many bulls have surrounded me. Strong bulls of Bashan have encircled me. They open wide their mouth at me as a ravening and a roaring lion. I am poured out like water, and all my bones are out of joint. My heart is like wax. It is melted within me. My strength is dried up like a potsherd, and my tongue cleaves to my jaws, and you lay me in the dust of death. For the dogs have surrounded me. A band of evildoers has encompassed me. They pierced my hands and my feet. They count all my bones. They look, they stare at me. They divide my garments among them, and for my clothing they cast lots." Okay, so before I hadn't read far enough. I only said 11 and 12, and I meant through 18. And now, hopefully, having gone back and read Psalm 22, 11 through 18, what we've been saying, and I'll quickly review that again. It'll make more sense as we go back to John chapter 19. And what we'll do is we're going to answer a question right now from a listener, and we'll go back and pick up Psalm 22 and then go into Matthew and John in our next program and bring this back into more clarity for you, the dear listener. So let's go ahead to the question that we were answering in our last program, and it was from Bob in Bluntville. Bob in Bluntville, and he was talking about the Holy Spirit. And his he said that in the first chapter of Acts, Luke tells of Jesus' instructions to his apostles to stay in Jerusalem until God the Father sends his promise to be with them. His promise is the Holy Spirit. And here's Bob's question. Wasn't the Holy Spirit with men at that time, or was this the first time that the Holy Spirit was sent to be with man? And as we started to answer this in our last program, we pointed out that the Holy Spirit of God has always been here. We went to Genesis 1, verses 1 and 2 to show that the Spirit, Holy Spirit, was there at the beginning of the creation week. And then we went to Revelation 21 and Revelation 22, and specifically Revelation 22, 17, because that is that just as Genesis 1 is at the very beginning of the Bible, Revelation 22 is the very end of the Bible. And in verse 17, it talks about the Holy Spirit. So the Holy Spirit in God's plan has always been on the earth dealing with mankind. The key to understanding the manifestation or the function of the Holy Spirit is to understand how he acted in relationship to man in the Old Testament compared to how he acted with man in the New Testament. And to give us an example of how he interacted with man in the Old Testament, we went to 1 Samuel 16. And just by way of quick review, let's go back to 1 Samuel. And for those of you that were with us yesterday, you have a good feel for where 1 Samuel is up towards the beginning of your Bible. You have 1 and 2 Samuel, then 1 and 2 Kings. So of those four books, we want to go to the first one, to 1 Samuel 16. And this is where the prophet Samuel has been commanded by God to ordain David as king, even though King Saul is the current king of Israel. And King Saul has departed from his righteous ways of following God, and we see how God reacts to that. So in 1 Samuel 16, verses 13 and 14, it says, "Then Samuel took the horn of oil and anointed him in the midst of his brothers, and the Spirit of the Lord came mightily upon David from that day forward, and Samuel arose and went to Ramah." Verse 14, "Now the Spirit of the Lord departed from Saul, and an evil spirit from the Lord terrorized him." So we see in two verses, one after the other, 13 and 14 in 1 Samuel 16, that the Holy Spirit came on David from that day forward and departed from Saul. So the Holy Spirit would come on a man that God had determined was righteous. And through the infilling of the Holy Spirit, God would work through them, through that individual, either to do the fine work of building the tabernacle in the wilderness or for prophesying, as he did with Saul. Saul prophesied early on in his kingship, but then he turned away from God and God took his Holy Spirit away from him. So that's a key thing to understand about the difference between the Holy Spirit in the Old Testament and actually in the New Testament up until the time of the church in Pentecost. So, you know, John the Baptist died before Jesus was resurrected and glorified, so he is considered an Old Testament saint and operated thusly. So we have that 1 Samuel 16 example with King David and King Saul. And then I'd like us to go to Psalms. So back to the right, you're in 1 Samuel. And let's get through Kings and Chronicles and Job. And then we'll get into the Psalms. And go to Psalm 51. And back in 1 Samuel 16, we were talking about King David. And here is a psalm of King David. He wrote a number of the Psalms. And in Psalm 51, let's look at verse 11, or actually let's start at verse 10. Psalm 51, verse 10, create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a steadfast spirit within me. Verse 11, do not cast me away from your presence, and do not take your Holy Spirit from me. Do not take your Holy Spirit from me. So David knew that the Spirit could leave him if he turned away from God. If God determined that he was then unrighteous, he would take his Holy Spirit away from him. So that's the Old Testament. Then in the New Testament, Jesus gave insight into how the Holy Spirit would change his interactions with people. So let's go to John. So we go to the New Testament, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and let's go to the book of John. And we want to go to John chapter 7. John chapter 7. John chapter 7, and let's look at verses 38 and 39. So we're looking for how has the Holy Spirit changed the way that he interacts with people from the Old Testament to the New Testament. And we're not only told here how he changes, but when he's going to change his way. So in John 7, verses 38 and 39, verse 38 says, he who believes in me, and this is Jesus speaking, as the scripture said, from his innermost being will flow rivers of living water. Now remember, scripture, this early in Christ's ministry, when he's still alive, is Old Testament. So it's actually a passage out of Isaiah. From his innermost being will flow rivers of living water. And the key word is will, so future. Verse 39, but this he spoke of the Spirit, whom those who believed in him, there's the key, those who believed in him were, future, to receive. For the Spirit was not yet given because Jesus was not yet glorified. So we're talking about not yet given, and we're going to go forward from here to explain what given means. But the key thing is that the Holy Spirit changed the way he interacted with people at the point when Jesus was glorified. And once Jesus was glorified into heaven, the church started. Okay? So while he was physically on the earth, while Jesus was physically on the earth, the Holy Spirit would, as in the Old Testament, come on people and potentially leave them. So we'll pick up and finish this in our next episode because there's so much to understand here. Remember, if we don't talk again, I'll be seeing you in the air.
If you have a question for Steve, you can submit it online to whcbradio.org. Our offer here at WHCB this month is a very special documentary, 1517, The Flame Rekindled, where you'll be taken on a journey through the land of Martin Luther, from his birth house in Eisleben to Castle Church in Wittenberg, and beyond the borders of Germany as well. You will see the effects of Luther's courageous stand. Shot on location in Germany and in Denmark, this documentary film includes interviews with internationally known scholars and theologians. Prepare to be immersed in the story of Martin Luther and gain a new understanding of how this story affects each of us today. This special DVD, 1517, The Flame Rekindled, can be yours with an offering of $25 or more to the ministry of WHCB. To order your copy, call 423-878-6279. That's 878-6279 and order your copy today. Exploring Bible Prophecy is a production of WHCB Radio. You can learn more at whcbradio.org.